This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Everyone's got those songs that make them go, "Oh man, I felt that." Songs that resonate with their own individual circumstances and bring them together with others through shared connection. But the same song is guaranteed to speak to different people in vastly different ways. So join Jordan and I, once childhood neighbors in Marathon City, Wisconsin, as we talk through the songs that have struck a chord with us. We'll discuss the similar messages we've heard upon our listens, the lessons we've learned through our own interpretations, and the deeper topics we're navigating as our unique journeys continue beyond our hometown. Welcome to Marathon Mixtapes. Jordan, what song are we talking about this week?
Okay, Dayton, she wore a crown and came down in a bubble, Dayton. Do you understand this?
I must stab him.
I must stab him. All right, for any of you who do not get that reference, that is a wild meme from years back about the Wicked musical, or honestly, what is it? Land Before Oz? Anyway.
Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz. Yes, that's what it was. So the song for our penultimate episode of Marathon Mixtapes, I have selected For Good from the Wicked musical. So it's a little bit of another left turn for me, where this song is not necessarily from like a standard musical album, but from a musical this time. And this has got to be one of the more impactful songs of my life personally, and I knew that I just had to end my five songs of volume one of Marathon Mixtapes with For Good from Wicked. And before I kind of dive into how much Wicked has taken a hold of my background and history, I wanted to ask you, Dane, first, have you seen the musical Wicked before?
So I have not. I am more of a Les Miserables guy myself. But I do want to mention, now that I'm thinking about it, I think you were the first person to introduce the music of Wicked to me. I'm remembering correctly, the year before I came into high school, you guys did Wicked for a field show, a marching band field show at Marathon High School. Maybe it was a year or two before I joined. Regardless, I remember, as we normally did, hanging out in your game room basement, and you showed me Defying Gravity. And I remember at that time being really impressed with the song. For somebody who was, I think, you know, towards the end of my middle school years, I was very much like a rock music or nothing me kind of guy, and had a very sort of dumb representation of what that would actually mean. But that song really captured me, and that song has really stuck with me. And if I had been a betting man, I would have imagined that you would have selected that song as maybe one of your final or potential songs from the suite of Marathon Mixtape selections. But you went with this song, which I had not heard until you recommended it to me, and I thoroughly enjoy it. Now, I am somewhat familiar with the story of Wicked, and thankfully the song does a good job of bringing together a lot of the story. I can kind of infer some of the things that happen from the lyrics and the storytelling that happens within it. But I, again, hadn't heard it until you showed it to me, and I am a fan now, considerably.
Yeah, so if you were a betting man, that would have been a safe bet, because Defying Gravity, another great song from the Wicked soundtrack, probably up there tied with For Good. But I think...
I honestly think Defying Gravity is maybe one of... I've seen some like musical like theory breakdowns of that song too. And that's honestly, it feels like one of the great songs. You know, we always have like the American Songbook or whatever, but I don't know if it's been updated for recent music. It feels like that song should definitely be included in it. The Great American Songbook or the Great World Soundbook. I don't remember where the original author of the songs is from. But regardless, it feels like an all-timer, right? And this one is not far behind from in my book.
No, yeah. I think, like I said, Defying Gravity, that one's just such a great pump-up song. And I think the only reason why I picked... Well, not the only reason, but I think I decided to pick For Good instead of Defying Gravity is primarily the messages behind the song itself for this theme that we have, talking about a life, talking about our lives, sharing our lives through this podcast. But to not put the cart before the horse, I guess, I wanted to just briefly talk about why I decided to pick a musical song, let alone a song from Wicked. So growing up, I would not call myself a musical guy. Like, I didn't see a lot of musicals. And I think Wicked was the first musical that I really sunk my teeth into, because, like you had mentioned before, when I was a freshman in high school, I was in the marching band. Well, I was in the marching band all my years in high school, but my freshman year, our field show, like you said, was Wicked. So it might have been like 2 years before you got to high school.
And yeah, it would have been two then.
Yeah. And that was like obviously a very chapter defining moment of my life, you know, moving from middle school to high school. Not a big one per se, but when you're at that age, it definitely feels like it, because you're like transitioning from like one student body to another. And so I got to learn to play the music. So I got to learn to play Defying Gravity, For Good, Dancing Through Life, all the songs. Just a quick shout out to Dancing Through Life, another great Wicked song from the soundtrack. And honestly,
I'll have to listen to that one.
With the time we're recording this, is kind of between the two halves of the movie with Ariana Grande and I forget,
Cynthia Erivo.
Cynthia. They do a great job in the first part of the movie. Second part's not out yet. Honestly, I think Dancing Through Life is still better than the original, and I feel like I get a lot of hate for that. Anyways, a little off track, but For Good, Defying Through Gravity, those songs were so impactful, and I think part of why it has such a big impact on me is like I had to learn how to play it, so I wasn't just like a passive listener to the musical. Like I learned the music, and those songs were just really fun to play, especially field show. I think it was the middle piece, the second act of our show. It was like a mashup of For Good that like blended into Defying Gravity, which was even cooler.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I remember as a freshman, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, in marching band, learning the songs. That was also the last year of Marathon High School band being head up by Brian Cray, which I think to this day is one of the more memorable teachers I've had in my high school, let alone, like, I like playing music. I wouldn't say I'm that musical, I guess, but there's always those teachers that, despite the subject that they're teaching you, really vibing with you, they make such an impact on you. And Brian Cray, shout out to Brian Cray, he was one of those teachers for me. And then as the years went on, like, we had multiple band teachers. I'm not sure, have you had only one band teacher when you were in high school? Was it just Mrs. Sternberg?
When I was in high school, yeah, it was just Sarah Sternberg.
Yeah, so I got three band teachers, and not to like say they're bad or anything, I just, I guess, preferred Mr. Cray more. But to me, it was just like every year after freshman year was kind of a slight downward slope. But like I said, this was our field show, and like everybody was so into it, and we like kicked ass at the competitions. And I remember, you know, I guess as a reward or part of just kind of learning the source material, I guess you could say, we took a field trip to Chicago to watch the musical in its entirety in Chicago. So that's like a 5-hour bus ride one way.
Yeah, that's a hike.
Yeah, and to this day, like I've seen the Wicked musical like 3 times at least, or maybe 3 times I think in Chicago at least, and then once on Broadway in New York City. So like I've seen it a lot, and I feel like it really got me into musicals. And then it's, you know, like afterwards, like getting into the world a bit more, like you said, Les Miserables, Sweeney Todd, even like the SpongeBob musical, which on a side note, if anybody's listening to this and wants a ridiculously well-produced and eclectic soundtrack from a musical, go listen to the SpongeBob musical. Anyways, back to Wicked. Like I said, one moment I remember with this song is that at the state marching band competition, I think this was at University of Wisconsin Whitewater. So we were a very small high school, Marathon High School. Our town is only 1,500 people, give or take a good or bad year. And so we were the smallest division of high school competing. I think it was called single A, and then there's double A, triple A, and quad A, I think. Every additional A means your school is at a bigger size. And it was such a weird ending, but so memorable too, because we were announced that we got first place in, you know, the single A. And I was in the percussion section at the time. And every section also had like their individual rankings. And I think us as a percussion, we not only got like first place in our single A ranking, we beat out some of the double A and maybe even some of the triple A bands. So nice. This was a year where we were just like, you know, we kicked ass. But then it turns out by like a weird La La Land moment that we didn't actually get first place, that another school from the single A had beat us. So you could tell like even the small schools were the small schools that year were bringing it and showing up the bigger schools. And I remember it started raining as if like on cue for some very dramatic cinematic movie, but not raining really hard, kind of like sky turned gray, it was getting dark and it started drizzling. And then the band teacher had to make the announcement, oh, we did not actually get first. However, at these competitions, especially at the state competition, the bands that get first place in your division, single A, double A, etc., you get an encore performance. And so before the encore performance was when they realized their mistake and told all the band directors that what had happened. And so Mr. Cray had to come out and tell us that we actually got second place, but we still had to go do the encore because there wasn't enough time to tell the other school because I think they had already packed up. And I don't remember the content, but I remember the vibes of that speech he gave where he's like, you know what, we laid it all out there and we did our best. And now let's show them again our best, you know, go out there with pride and play our songs. And then I remember as a kid looking around, I'm the kind of guy that's like, oh, awesome, we got second, like, let alone like not getting first would have been amazing. Like getting first was amazing. And as a freshman, this was my first experience in a high school marching band. And, you know, the announcement of us getting second, I was like, oh, gee willikers, we still got second. Oh boy. And, you know, a lot of other people are just like really sad and kind of bummed out. But I think this speech really helped out. And then we still went out there and played our hearts out. And during the show of our encore, the rain picked up intensely. It like by the time it got to the second piece where For Good and Defying Gravity started playing, it was like a downpour. And I remember as a percussionist in the pit, I was hitting a lot of cymbals and a lot of break drums. And it felt like I was part of like a Blue Man Group performance where there's like paint splashing everywhere when I hit. And I feel like it just made it more cinematic. And it became a time that like I don't think I'll ever forget. And that time was, you know, me playing the Wicked soundtrack, For Good and Defying Gravity and all those other songs. But that, I guess, only really explains half of why I picked For Good. Like you said, why didn't I pick Dancing Through Life, Defying Gravity, Popular, any of the other Wicked songs? I think For Good is a little bit more impactful for me in terms of songs I wanted to talk about with you, with our audience, because I think it's such an emotional song. Not to say Defying Gravity isn't, but it's more of like a heartfelt, like taking somebody's hand, looking them in the eyes, and like delivering them a very heartfelt message. Whereas a song like Defying Gravity and Dancing Through Life is all about kind of looking inside and being like, hey, you know what? I am good. You know, like I'm better than what people say. If people try to put me down, I know that's not right. I'm going to show them. And it's very like, feels slightly antagonistic and combative. Whereas For Good, I feel like has a more broader, softer, positive message, where the whole theme of the song to me is just the characters, Glinda and Elphaba, the Wicked Witch of the West and the Good Witch, sing about their life together at the Wizard and Witches Academy at Oz, basically singing a heartfelt message of how much of an impact they have had on each other, and something that like will never be forgotten. And I felt like that song and that message felt very appropriate for our conversations through this podcast, and kind of it's more of a message I like to share with other people. And I guess before we really kind of dive into the lyrics and I talk about that more, I'll kind of pass the mic back to you and ask you about your initial thoughts on the song, especially the lyrics, because as you had mentioned, you have not seen Wicked before, so all you have is like the song. And from the other songs that you've listened to, you've probably pieced together kind of the general concept of what the story is. But for this song in isolation, I was wondering like how the lyrics came across to you and how you felt as you listened to the song.
Yeah, totally. So first, I want to thank you for sharing your experience at the field show competition. I mean, that was really vivid. You really put me in a time and place. And I was part of those field shows towards the end of that program, unfortunately, about halfway through my high school career. Marathon High School stopped going to those competitions, and we did not do nearly as well as you guys did. But with that said, I remember that hype. I remember that feeling. I remember those announcements and still how tense and fun they could be and how exciting it was to even get recognized in any capacity. And just the way you described your encore performance, I understand why this song is so important to you from that angle. And on top of that, I think you described For Good really well too when you said how it feels a little bit more intimate, a little bit more about the conversation between these characters versus something like Defying Gravity is very much Elphaba singing to the audience and being like, whoa, look at me. This song is very much about the performance. And, you know, with somebody like Idina Menzel and her crazy pipes, like that's totally understandable. And that's why the song is a big part of why the song is celebrated, right? But this song, when I first listened to it, I totally got that sense of these are two characters who are just laying it all out there, speaking very intimately to each other. It's one of those I love musicals, even though my experience with them is pretty limited to like movie musicals. And, you know, I've seen West Side Story live, I've seen Les Mis, things like that. You know, some of the bigger hits, Phantom of the Opera, right? But so many of those musicals, they're iconic because they're like trying to impress the audience and really trying to like, oh, grip you. And it's like, see how emotional we are. This song felt really organic and very uninterested in what the audience had to say. It felt like these two characters like just so desperately needed to have this conversation, just to sit down and be, this is how I feel. I messed up in some ways. And I hope you can forgive me. And then the other character is like, yeah, we're both sharing this blame. We're both in this together. And regardless of where this journey has taken us, I recognize how much you've changed me. And they sort of go through this little back and forth for a while before they recognize, I believe you have changed me for good, changed for the better. And I love seeing those characters work that out, come to that conclusion. And these cosmic kind of images that they use, you know, like I'm going to pull some up because there's some of them are really, really good. Some of these metaphors that they use, like a seed dropped from a skybird in a distant wood, like these really big picture kind of metaphors that really work, like a comet pulled from orbit as it passes the sun. What a powerful image, cosmic again, you know, something like otherworldly. And that when a friendship is that powerful.
I think one of my favorites is like the simple, like a handprint on my heart. Like it's just, it's there, subtle, but it's there.
Yeah, it's specific, but it's powerful. I think this song does a good job of illustrating how momentous a relationship can feel when you realize, oh, this person's like rubbed off on me a lot, or this person has really taken my life in a direction that I didn't expect. And at risk of getting a little bit too mushy too soon, you know, I definitely thought about you when I listened to this song, because I mean, to keep the whole marching band theme going, you were the reason I got into percussion. I was also in the percussion section. I was in the drum line as opposed to the pit band, but I remember you saying that you were getting interested in and participating in middle school band, and I was like, oh yeah, when I get to my time to choose my instrument, I'm going to choose drums. I'm going to choose percussion like Jordan. And, you know, you and I sort of found our own niches within that, but goodness knows that you affected my life in that way. And even in high school, I remember talking to certain people about, especially once you went off to college, how much your sense of humor had affected me and changed like what I found funny and what I found interesting even. You know, we've referenced Homestar Runner on the show before, which is foundational to my sense of humor. And you were the first one to introduce me to that. And even just like the cadence of how we say some things sometimes, I'm like, oh, that was a little Jordanism, you know? So I, again, at risk of getting too mushy too soon in this episode, but I definitely thought about you when I was thinking about this song too, where then some of the lyrics where it's like, oh, Jordan changed the course of my life in some really cool ways, and I'm very, very, very thankful for that. So,
yeah, that's just why I really love this song. And again, to compare it to some of the other songs from the Wicked soundtrack, like Defying Gravity, a lot of those other songs are so hype and so awesome for their bravado and their like impactfulness for storytelling. Right, like with any story, like the hero's journey, you have those moments where you like defy odds and like, yeah, you become the hero and you have this moment of greatness. And then you have songs, I feel like, on the other side, like For Good, there's so much less that and more emotional. I feel like For Good is such a human, or like a song about human connection, right? Like you had mentioned before, it's about two people, in this case, two main characters, two witches, that just have this conversation in a quiet moment. In honestly, like during the story, like they're being chased, I think, and they find like a quiet cupboard or like just like an alcove to like just talk for a second and try to come up with an escape plan. And then they start having this conversation because they're like really angry at each other, because these two characters are, they started like very oppositely, where like one was basically like the bully of the other. Glinda was basically bullying Elphaba. And then as she was bullying her and got to know her by being in close proximity to her, she felt sorry for her and got to know her, and they became really good friends. And then as the story goes on, they kind of start splitting apart again, because one of the witch's dreams comes true, but it turns out Jeff Goldblum's a dick. The Wizard of Oz is actually like a little bit facetious and duplicitous. And then Elphaba finds out about that and doesn't actually want to be like his assistant. And it was like a dream that the both of them had, but one of them was clearly more capable. And now that like she's throwing it away, they start growing apart and they like have an argument. And it's got those themes of, yeah, we've both messed up, but we've been through so much together, and you have just like rubbed off on me in so many ways I can't even put to words. And like you said, with all these beautiful like metaphors and similes about how they have affected each other, I feel like I have been kind of going through the world personally, like thinking back maybe like 5 or 7 years, like with this song as maybe guidepost isn't the right word, but like it's in the back of my mind. And I think about it when I ever have like a moment to myself and kind of think about my journey to where I am now. I think there's a lyric in there was, or I think just like the theme of the song, like, because I knew you, I have been changed for good. And even in the song, they kind of make the concession. I don't know if it's a concession. I think it's just a realization that, like, I don't know if I've been changed for the better, if I can make that call, but just you coming into my life, I have been changed for good. Like, for sure, I've definitely been changed just by knowing you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, when I have a moment to myself, kind of think about my personal journey up to this point, I always try to like think about how the people I meet have done that, because they most certainly have. And sometimes in really minor ways, and sometimes in really major ways. In either case, they have changed my life for good. And even if they don't realize it or they don't know, just kind of by entering into my personal bubble, they have like altered my course in a noticeable way. That's why I really like love this song. And I just remember, like, I had a friend who also really loved the Wicked musical. And I remember we sang this song as a duet at karaoke somewhere in some divey karaoke bar in Boston. And I forget, I think I took Elphaba, she had Glinda. And when we got to the end of the song, like, I remember we hugged, because it was just like, it's a very emotional song, as a lot of musical songs are. I don't think I'll ever get over how simple of a message it is. And I think it helps that the two original singers of the song, Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth, are like phenomenal singers in their own right. And so they've upped like the quality of the song from them.
I think they're really good performers too, like from an acting standpoint as well. Because one of the versions that I watched in preparation for this was one of the first ones that you sent, and it was from the Out of Oz sort of anniversary program, where Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel are sort of performing in a darkened space with just a pianist in the corner. And as they perform, you know, they start off as like their characters, like, oh, okay, it's Glinda and Elphaba, cool. But then that kind of starts to fall away in a really beautiful manner. They start to look at each other a little bit more. They make little gestures towards each other. And pretty clear to me that these are like the two actors, the two performers, the two singers talking to one another too. And without losing the sort of narrative grip too that they have on us, right? Towards the end, they end up holding hands and hugging, and that was really powerful for me to watch too, because I am sort of familiar with some of their work outside of just Wicked. I've certainly, you know, heard their performances of certain Wicked songs off the soundtrack, independent of the story. And so I know they're great singers, but like to see them bond over this song and bond over the time that they spent together was so cool, and just reinforced a lot of these messages for me. And it is a simple message, like you said, but I also appreciate that it doesn't fall into the trap of just plainly saying, oh, I'm better because of you. It's like, that's, you know, kind of a trite idea, maybe. But this saying, having that sort of uncertainty, that's like, we've definitely modified each other's lives, the course, the path that we're on, and I know so much of me is because of you. That's a miracle in and of itself, right? I think that's such a beautiful idea to capture in song, and this does it so well. It's great. It's lovely, and something that, like you've been saying too, it's a great vehicle for reflecting on your own life and being content with the changes that have occurred in your life, whether or not you can say, oh, if that hadn't happened to me, would I have been better? If something different had happened, would I have been better? Can't confidently say, but where I am now, I'm happy. Beautiful. Love that. I think so much of life is negatively affected by not having the certainty that you're on the right path, or not having the certainty that you're believing the right things. We talked about that a lot during my episode on Bleachers and listening to Foreign Girls and how much that affected my faith. But having that lack of certainty and being content in the unknown, being content with the path that you're on, that is life. I think that's one of the most important things I've learned. So this song was just another example of sharing that feeling and seeing that feeling out in the wild and knowing, oh yeah, this is kind of a universal human experience and maybe the most beautiful part of it.
To also throw it back to our last episode, the Bleachers Foreign Girls, it feels like a great 1-2 punch, because with Foreign Girls, I feel like that was a song kind of just setting up that, like, I have gone and I have some things left unspoken, so here it is. And what it was is that I love you all. For Good coming after that, I feel is so fitting, because it's another just song about how, you know, once, like, I love you, but this is how everybody who has ever knew me in any capacity, not necessarily has changed me for the better. I don't know that, but I know that because you were in my life, that you have changed it for, like, noticeably. I keep wanting to just say for good, because, like, that's the title of the song. And
it's a good title.
It is. Yeah, I'm trying to hesitate because I don't want to be that guy. It's like, oh, he said the movie title, roll credits. But it's like, it's just, that is the whole, like heart of the song, like, for good. And, like, there's a lyric in the song where it's like, they repeat it, where, like, I don't know if you've changed me for the better, but it doesn't matter. You've changed me for good. And if you've seen the musical, if you know the characters, you know that, like, both of them have changed them, each other for good. It reminded me that, like, this was a song I knew I would want to talk about on our podcast, because it's, like, another song that kind of I wanted to share with, like, our audience. Of anybody who's listens is probably people that know one or both of us, and the people that know me might not know how I feel about them from a day to day, just because of my typically reserved self. But For Good is one of those songs where it's like, hey, like, I just want to let everybody know that if you know me, you probably had a much larger impact on my life than you realize. And I just wanted to talk about this song to share that back to you. I think we had talked, not off camera, but, like, off recording, about...
Off mic. Like,
yeah, off mic. How I thought this coupled with Foreign Girls was so powerful for me personally, because Foreign Girls was supposed to be, like, the song that you play at your own funeral to your audience that comes to your funeral. And then For Good is, like, the will that gets read out to your family, again, like, right after, that shares, like, oh, actually, no, it wasn't the will. It was like, the diary. It was, like, the diary that you've kept and decided to give to your family so that they can, like, read...
Oh, sure, yeah.
...your stories and your thoughts that you might not have, like, had the courage or wherewithal to say it out loud, but had the foresight to write it down. And now that, you know, you're gone, like, wanted to make sure that the people really close to you, really important to you, knew and, like, found out, and make sure they know that how much, like, they've meant, like, to you.
Yeah, it's interesting how well this entire sort of narrative between our episodes across the songs has kind of come together, and we see it kind of coming to a head here with these last couple episodes, and fingers crossed for the big finale here coming up here as well. But I think that also speaks to the quality of the song as well. It's just, it feels like a resolution. It feels like a coming together. It feels like a shedding away of the audience and really focus on these characters doing what they need to do. And it's beautiful that it's reflected in this episode even too, where you're like, ah, I'm not always great at communicating my appreciation for friendship. So this is my little letter. This is my little journal that I'm leaving behind, that anybody who listens to this and knows you understands just how important they are to you. So there's like multiple narratives going on all at once. Oh my gosh, it's great. So I appreciate you sharing that. And I appreciate you using the song as a vehicle for that. And because I know it's personally important to you as a song, but it's also personally important to you as a message. And when those two things come together in a single song, ooh, you know, you got something special.
And another thing I like about this song, as I'm kind of just rereading the lyrics again and reminding myself how they go, is just, again, I think it comes down to, again, I think I've said it like 10 times now this so far, but like how human it is, because it doesn't make excuses. It doesn't try to be anything more than it is. It knows that not everything is perfect and pristine. Like in the first verse, right? The whole first verse, I kind of just like want to read it out just so other people know. It starts out with this message. I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn. And we are led to those who help us most to grow if we left them, and we help them in return. And like there's this big like parable message. And then it's immediately followed up with, well, I don't know if I believe that's true. You know, like immediate like dismissal, because that seems too back of a Hallmark card optimism for me. But I see like the nugget of truth, you know, the core of that, that's still true, where I know I'm who I am today because I knew you. And then they go into the chorus with all the different metaphors to try and really paint the picture of how strong of an impact, you know, the singers have on each other through these beautifully portrayed metaphors. Like you said, a comet pulled from orbit as it passes the sun, like a stream that meets a boulder halfway through the wood, like a ship blown from its mooring by a wind off the sea. A lot of these are just like really strong forces of nature, but at the same time, very glancing blows, I guess, you know, like a stray wind off the sea. And then, oops, the ship is, you know, blown a little to the left. Or, and like this giant comet.
Or they're like temporal or almost accidental sometimes, it feels like. Or not like...
not intentional.
Not necessarily, intentional, not purposeful, clearly, you know, but...
yeah, I was going to say like not intentional, but still just as impactful. I think the biggest one that like kind of paints that picture, I think like a ship blown from its mooring by a wind off the sea, right? A ship is, and I'm thinking of like this big galleon type ship, right, on at the dock, and then all of a sudden the stray wind out of nowhere, and as quick as it comes, it's gone, was enough to push it away, you know, from the dock, and now it's, you know, set adrift in a new direction. Very ephemeral things, yet so impactful.
Ephemeral, great word there. Ephemeral, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think what I appreciate about this message, too, is something that I've thought about myself, in that I don't know if life in general, but also like specific friendships and things like that are if things happen for a reason, right? That's the old adage, you know, and one that's really common in like Christian circles that I used to be a part of. They say, oh, everything happens for a reason. God has a plan, things like that. I remember even tweeting this back when I was like in early college and still very much like in my faith circles, saying, I'm not sure if anything happens for a purpose, but I know we can instill things with purpose, you know, find purpose in things. It's like almost the opposite direction of how people kind of frame it typically, where they say, oh, this thing happened to you, dig for the purpose, go find it. It's like, no, I have to give the purpose. I have to walk up to this thing with the purpose and decide what it's going to mean to me. Right. And I think the healthiest, or the most, maybe not the healthiest, because these, goodness knows that these two characters don't have it all together, but the most involved, the most present friendships always kind of bring your purpose to the table, bring your intent to the table. And even if things go crazy, even if there's the winds blowing, the comets being pulled from their orbit, things like that, to see the meaning in the chaos and bring your framework to it and be like, no, all of this stuff is happening, but I see the change that's been affected on me, and it's something I'm come to terms with, something I'm content with, again, to use that term. That's a message I think about a lot when I listen to this song, too, is not letting things happen to you, having those things happen and seeing them in the best, most fulfilling light possible. That's kind of how I see it right now.
Yeah. I think for me, this song has been a big part of, I think, how people think I'm very fatalistic. But I think in a very similar way to you, where it's like in the best way possible, because there's so many things in our lives that happen that's so complicated that can push us from one direction to the other, just like how this song uses its lyrics to kind of portray that with its metaphors. I think this song has maybe not helped me, but has definitely made me kind of go through life thinking that, not that things happen for a reason, but just things happen and things happen this way.
Mm.
And one way I like to try to explain kind of a similar feeling is that if you have like a lottery, if you have a bag with like 100 names on it and you draw one name and that name gets like $1 million, like you have a 1% chance of winning, or each person in that box has a 1% chance of winning, but there is a 100% chance that someone is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this weird dichotomy of like how the odds are so low for everybody, but it's going to happen to somebody. I try to view things that happen in my life in kind of like a similar lens. We were both born in Marathon City, Wisconsin, a town of 1,500 people in a planet, you know, what, with like 6 trillion, almost 7 trillion people now. The odds of you being born in Marathon...
Think you're in America? Zoom out.
The...
Sorry, it's all good. Pete Holmes reference. You can always count on me for those.
Right, like the odds that we were born in a town as small as that is so low. But, you know, right. The population of the town is 1,500. So there was 1,500 people that on a given, you know, year lived in that town. And like, you got to populate it with somebody, you know, to make up the 1,500 people. And, you know, for a certain number of years, that was us. And
right.
It was out of our control, but it's one of those like everything that happens to us, or I guess like the way I think about it, is like everything that happens to me is like winning a lottery of some kind.
Mm.
Sometimes it's a great lottery. Sometimes it's a really shitty lottery. If you've ever read, what is it like? There's a short story called The Lottery where the whole premise is like, you don't want to win the lottery, but you don't realize that until the end.
The Shirley Jackson story. I Shirley was just Jackson. Thinking about that when that you mentioned it. Yeah.
But every little thing is kind of like a lottery. And when you compare your life to somebody else, you've won so many lotteries that that person hasn't, and they've won so many that you haven't. And it's just like this hodgepodge of people with such unique stories and upbringings and circumstances. Running into somebody, again, is another lottery with an infinitesimal chance if you try to look for a specific outcome, but it'll happen, right? Like the friends you make, like when you go off to college, you're going to meet somebody for the first time. Who are you going to meet? Who knows? It'll be like a 0.000 something chance you meet like a specific person, right? But you're mm-hmm. going to meet someone. It's not like you go to college and just nobody's there. It's like a weird paradox that I find some sort of solace in when you kind of let go of the steering wheel a little bit, and try not to chase things so intently sometimes, and kind of let things come to you. And when you kind of recontextualize it, you see that, like, I don't know, like these 1 in a million chances happen to you like every day, multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking up this quote, and it's funny because nobody can give me a definitive source. Some people have attributed this quote that I'll relay here in a second. Some people have attributed it to Lewis Carroll, some people to Eleanor Roosevelt, and other people to a Neutral Milk Hotel song, hilariously enough. Regardless, the idea of all of the, I love what you said there. It's like we win all of these lotteries just to be who we are. And that made me think of the quote, how strange it is to be anything at all, which I think is a one that goes really, really hand in hand with this song. It's just how remarkable it is to be affected by any sort of change, and how miraculous it is that we can affect one another, that we're these independent creatures, you know, free will or not, we're affecting each other's lives, and that's amazing. I think we can't overstate that, really. You know, it's, I think a lot of the examples that you brought up with the where we were born, and, you know, even the fact that we are on the same block and around the same age and things like that, all of that is very specific, very low chances of it happening. But even the broader things, just to be conscious, that's, oh boy, that's something. Sure. that's okay. Something that is incredible and worth celebrating, and to step back and recognize again the miracle of it all.
Yeah, I think that's a good word for it too, like the miracle of it all, the miracle. Like, it, I feel like meeting people when you like take a step back again, when, especially for me, when I'm thinking of like all these statistics that don't really mean anything anyways, but meeting anybody is a miracle, because I met that person. And whenever I listen to that song, or whenever I listen to For Good, I think of like all the people that I've crossed paths with. If I spend like even 5 or 10 seconds thinking about what I know about them and their like upbringing or like their history, the fact that our roads have crossed even for a split second feels miraculous. Like I said, every time I listen to For Good, I have these thoughts. And I think that was one of the reasons, another one of the many reasons why I wanted to pick this song to talk about, is just to tell anybody, kind of like listening to us, right? Just listening to this podcast will be a miracle in and of itself, because of like the nature of
absolutely.
It. Yeah, you might only be listening to it because, you know, you're our family or our friends that we've recommended you take a listen to, because we're doing this little project, and if we're good enough friends to you, or you care for us enough as our family, you're like, oh, I'm going to give it a shot because it's something that someone I know, someone I love made, and I'm going to do it. And then getting to episode 9, and then you get to this point where I'm saying, you listening to me talking about how much of a miracle it is that you came into my life, you zoom out enough or you zoom in enough and you just see the ridiculousness chances of things that needed to have to happen to get to certain points. I bring this up once again just to say to like all my friends, anybody who dares to listen and to give me any, you know, time of day, that I feel like even though I may not express this kind of wonder and joy outwardly, honestly, because it would be tiring. I will be honest. It would be tiring to feel so emotional of miracles happening every minute of my life. But I do think about it like very often. And I definitely, you know, as I'm getting older, feel like I try not to take these little things for granted, because I realize how, again, miraculous all these encounters, all these friendships, even like acquaintances, can be and feel like.
Yeah, I like the word that you use there too, ridiculousness. There is something far-fetched about being who we are, when we are, why we are, and seeing the puzzle pieces still kind of fit together anyway. You know, that's another small miracle I don't take for granted either. It's like, not only the fact that like you and I, for example, exist at the same time, but we've connected over so much, and that's something special too. We could have been all those same factors, but the fact that we have so much in common and celebrate and appreciate each other's differences too is also another miracle in and of itself. And that kind of brings me to a question I wanted to ask, which is funny and certainly not a performance review or anything, but I did want to ask what you think makes a good friendship.
Oh, we're going deep philosophy here.
Yes.
What makes good friendship? I think this song does a good job in and of itself, kind of laying out the foundation where it's something of mutual respect and acknowledgement of imperfection, right? I think what makes the story of Wicked so good is at the end you have Elphaba and Glinda, who are two very diametrically opposite types of people. Like Glinda's like the prissy, popular girl, and Elphaba's like the studious bookworm that's super shy and reserved in the beginning. And yet somehow like these two meet and fate pushes them together, and then they become like the bestest of friends in the story. And even when they have to split up and go on their own ways, they still have this strong connection between them, which I think is their friendship. And I think what makes a good friendship, honestly, like not even just friendship, but like a relationship in general, right? It's something that you have, again, that mutual respect, but then understanding of the differences of the other person, and yet not letting that, you know, come between the friendship, or like having the strength and ability to communicate and kind of get past it. Maybe it's just because we're like talking about this song for good, but like when you ask me like what does it mean to be a good friend, I think it's just like being open with someone. And I think having shared interests definitely help catalyze the formation of a good friendship. But I think what keeps friendships together long term is the kind of just like the respect to the other person, that it's real, it's grounded, it's not facetious in a way. And I go back to that lyric from the song where I think it's Glinda that sings this line where it's like, "And just to clear the air, I ask forgiveness for all the things I've done and you blame me for." And then Elphaba responds back, "Well, then I guess we know there's blame to share, and none of it seems to matter anymore." I think those lines, to me, really epitomize a good friendship. I don't know if that defines what goes into a good friendship, but I feel like those lyrics really like set the tone that, oh, what they have is a good friendship. What about you? What do you have an idea of the ideal platonic friendship?
Yeah, I think you, me, and this song are all very much on the same wavelength, maybe just using slightly different words. What I had written down even was interest in the full person and respect for each aspect of their life. And I think that really echoes what you were saying about just having that understanding, having that recognition of the full person, flaws and all. And what this song kind of uses as the sort of push to for that relationship to the forward trajectory is to be like, "I'm sorry, I forgive you, none of it matters." You know, that's it goes through that whole stage of reconciliation in a relationship that I think is so important. And something that I think often happens kind of silently too among friends, you know, where I think about, you know, maybe sometimes like a friend is rude to me or has to skip out on something that we had been planning or whatever. Goodness knows I'm certainly the perpetrator of that sometimes too. And just to not let it be a roadblock, I think is something that really helps a relationship too. It's just a deciding, oh, these little hiccups aren't going to bother us, and we're going to hold each other accountable for things that could potentially be roadblocks that we won't be able to pass away, the things that we can't just slide to the side and be like, no, this is just part of being human. If there's something extra going on, having that ability to communicate and talk through it, and again, see the fullness of the person, recognize whatever fatal flaw you're dealing with is part of that person, and moving forward from there. And when I think about my closest friendships too, I think what I always appreciate is, from an even less emotional standpoint, just somebody taking an interest in an investment. I think that's a perfect word in this scenario. An investment in everything that I am. You know, I think my closest friends like you, and my friends, two Jacobs I'm thinking of right now, and my friend, the two Jacobs, Noah, Justin, and Christian, and Matt, and these guys, and hopefully all of you are listening. These are people who invest themselves not just in Dayton, but they invest themselves in Dayton, who is a husband to Kate, Dayton, who is a son to Connie and Randy, Dayton, who is a wannabe mixologist, Dayton, who is a wannabe novelist. Like, they see all of the different things I'm inhabiting and all of these things that I am to myself and to other people. And they say, oh yeah, that's all you. And I want to support you in that. So that's something I've always really, really appreciated about my super close friendships. And if I neglected to mention anybody by name, of course, that's
it means he doesn't like you at all. You are. Yeah.
It means you're out of my five. No, it's, you know who you are, and you know how much that means to me when you ask me how Kate is doing, or you ask me about the drink that I posted on Instagram, things like that. It's like when you just take that extra little step and put the extra little work in. I certainly try to reciprocate this when I can too. It's like, oh, you're seeing the whole me. You're seeing more of me at once than I often see of myself too, kind of. It's a really kind of out of body experience when somebody like asks you about something that's important to you when you haven't explicitly been like, oh, this is important to me. You know, they see it. They see the way you're behaving and the things that you prioritize in life and the things that you love. And they say, hey, I love that for you. So I think that's one thing that set aside some specific relationships in my life for me, for sure.
Yeah, I think investment is a good word there, like investment in like all aspects. It reminded me on both a lighter and darker note, I always feel a bit of unassumed pride, not unassumed, a bit of quiet pride whenever there's like the weird would you rather or like type of hypothetical questions where it's like, if you had to hide a dead body, who would you call to help you hide the dead body? Yeah. And whenever like someone says my name, I'm like, aw. And I'm like, yeah, right. I would. And like, it is something for me at least that like, if a friend thinks that I would do that, that seems very endearing to me. And at the same time, when I think about it, it's like, yeah, if like, if there was someone that I considered a close friend and they called or texted me up like, can you help me? I have a dead body, I can explain. I'll be like, you don't need to explain. I'll get the shovel. Just tell me where to meet you.
Right.
Type of deal. And that actually like reminded me of a funny story. I remember when I was in grad school, a good number of us from my lab were out at a bar at night on a Saturday, I think, just kind of drinking, hanging out. And that question came up. And we went around the table and saying like, oh, if you had to hide a dead body, who would you call to help you? Who would you call first to help you out? And I remember there was two main choices of people, and it was me and another lab mate. And I remember I narrowly edged out, I guess, the other lab member, and she took it really personally. And I took it like, yeah, that means like to me, I'm like, these people either think I'm a good friend that'll keep their secrets, or I'm a weird freak that like knows the weird things to do in a weird situation like that. And then one guy just said his mom, which was also really cute. That investment, right? Like, and nobody's perfect. And like, I think a good friendship really predicates on that, like, you know, acceptance of like all of a person. And it doesn't seem contrived or even a little fake. It also reminds me, and it might be like the Midwestern in me, but like for a lot of my like really close friends, right, like I feel like I'll give them a lot of shit, but it's because I love them. And it's kind of like that weird ribbing where like that's how you can tell like you've quote unquote made it in like a friendship. That's like in contrast to the people who are like really nice on the outside but are kind of not nice on the inside.
Sure.
To me, that comes off as a little more fake, and I try to be with like my friends the opposite. Because again, I feel like being kind of mean to somebody, not obviously like in a really derogatory way or anything, but kind of like some good old fashioned Midwest ribbing is kind of putting that out there, right? Like, just like, you know, nobody's perfect, and God knows like I'm not perfect. God knows you're not perfect. We got like these faults, but I love you anyways, dude. And like, and that's just kind of like putting that out there through like jabs and jokes and like open dialogue, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that, and I totally I am 1,000% with you. That is definitely how I talk with a lot of my close friends, especially in like the ones that we have larger group chats, where some days we just pick a guy and it's like, you're being roasted today, whether or not you like it. And it's all in good fun, of course, and it's all because we see the fullness of each other and we appreciate where each other is at in life. You know, that's mm-hmm. the funny thing too, is so often, you know, it's like, oh, it's because they're interested in this odd thing, or it's because they have this funny little quirk or whatever, and it's like, no, we just see you, man, we just see you where you are, and that's okay, and we love and appreciate you and include you in the group regardless, you know. But I want to go back to that sense of like helping somebody, maybe in a little bit less or more of a morbid context, depending on how you take this. But it talking about just sort of dropping everything, helping somebody unconditionally, reminded me a little bit of how, now this is with my family, my extended family through my wife, Kate. But when recently my wife, Kate, her father passed, and it was very sudden, very quick, and something it changed the course of our lives, certainly, but also kind of just our week that week, right? You know, again, we're looking at big scale, small scale here. And we got the call late at night, and this was like after 10 o'clock. We immediately just packed up and went. There were a number of people at the funeral. Now, this was driving up from northern, like central Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, down to the suburbs of Chicago. It's like a 5-6 hour drive, right? So many people at the funeral, at the wake, were like, oh, it was so nice of you guys to come down like immediately. It's like Karen, my mother-in-law, said that you guys came down as soon as you heard the news. And my reaction was, what's the alternative, right? Like, yeah, that's, right. And I think part of what makes a strong friendship, family, like I think friendships are very much synonymous with our family when we can make them work like that. You know, it's just like, when somebody asks me for help and they're somebody who's like a close friend, somebody I've invested in, I don't want them to be surprised when I help, you know? And it's like, mm-hmm. it's like, no, this is why I'm here. This is your happiness is my happiness, and your safety and your comfort is my safety and comfort. And I will prioritize you, you know, just that willingness to put in the extra work. Like I said, sometimes it comes down to situations as prompt and dire as that, where you have to change your schedule for the next week, change the way that you're going to live your life for the rest of it, maybe, and be like, nope, we're going to figure this out together. And that's something that's been a hallmark of a lot of my great friendships too, just those people who have made the time, made the opportunities to help me, because it was our relationship. Like there wasn't an alternative. It was the path forward was to help. So I think that's something that's really been on my mind lately, is when things do go awry in our relationships, or to somebody that we're in a relationship with, a sign of a close sort of bond is the fact that all there is to be there. And that is what I think is defining a strong relationship, a strong friendship, a strong bond for me right now.
I think, yeah, I think in those trying times, you can really see, you know, friendships, strong relationships, like when in those times of trouble, like you really get to see the truth come out really quickly. Like you said, right? You just drop everything and you go without question. I think it's another one of those great examples of the strength of like a friendship when times are tough. But I mean, like, you know, I think there are different ways that like friendships can also be expressed when things aren't catalyzed or started by something so strong and so mm-hmm. impactful, like of a moment. And it's a little like off topic, but I think another thing that I just wanted to kind of put out there before I forget is that another thing I like about this song is how, again, how ephemeral some moments can be between people that can have lasting impacts, and then it's predicated by the statement that, like, you were my friend, or just because I knew you. To throw it back to another lyric, I think in a chorus, or I think it's like Elphaba's verse, where it's like, even short moments in time can create really strong friendships. That's honestly kind of the story of Wicked as well, where Elphaba and Glinda come together for a very short part of their lives, honestly, and then have forged this super strong bond of friendship. And I like the whole verse. I'm just going to read it just because I don't know what I would even want to leave out, where it's like, you know, it well may be that we will never meet again in this lifetime. So let me say before we part, so much of me is made of what I learned from you. You'll be with me like a handprint on my heart. Again, I think my favorite metaphor in the song. And now whatever way our stories end, I know you have rewritten mine by being my friend. I think it's a lot easier to see really strong friendships in a familial sense because of the longevity of those relationships, usually, right? Like, your parents are always your parents for the most part. I mean, I know, you know, everyone's got very unique situations, and I can already think of a handful of exceptions, but, you know, like, if you have a standard mother and father, they are your mom and dad, you know, your whole life. And so that has that longevity to it. But I know a lot of people that I've hung out with and I've met for a brief amount of time, but I don't know, like, you, the vibes matched really well. And now, even though, like, I haven't thought of them for a long time, I think they are somebody that I feel like if I had to call for help, you know, or had to list off in a list of my friends, they might make the list, even though, you know, maybe I only knew them for like a week or so. But I bring that up just because I think your question is like, what makes a good friendship? There are a lot of ways to easily answer this, but then there are so many ways, as I'm thinking about it, that feel like exceptions to the rule. And I don't want to just pass off like the hand wavy, oh, they just got to fit the vibes. But sometimes that, like, really does explain it sometimes. Again, I think it goes to the back to what we were discussing, you know, like the ephemeralness of certain actions have such impact on our lives. Like, just like a ship blown from its mooring by a wind off the sea, little things can have such strong impacts on me, or on us as people. And for better or for worse, it could be strong enough that, like, it forges a friendship that seems stronger than you would have thought. Yet that actually reminded me, I had the opportunity to visit Japan last year for a vacation. I don't even remember posting too much about it because, honestly, I've kind of had enough with social media for a good while. I've kind of semi got back to it, but very rarely posted anything. Anyways, I don't know if I've posted a lot about my Japan trip beforehand, but I must have posted something because a couple days maybe into my trip or before my trip, someone I knew from my study abroad days back in like 2011, 2012 reached out to me. I remember him saying, "Yo, if you're in Tokyo, we should meet up and grab a drink." And it was so wild to me because I had not spoken to the guy in 12 years. And not only that, I thought that we had kind of left on not the best terms. So this is a story for another day, folks, but I got arrested in Japan, and I was just a rowdy college student in a group of four. It was like two German guys and a Mexican guy. I think he was Mexican or Austrian. Anyways, so like we got apprehended and taken to a police station where we were questioned. Fortunately, I was released the earliest, I guess, and got to go back to the dorm the earliest. And I didn't really speak to anybody in that group after that. There was definitely some people that did not like me afterwards very strongly and very vocally. But again, there was another German guy that, like, after that, we didn't really hang out that much after that. And that was kind of one of the last times I had spoken to him during my time abroad. And then again, yeah, 12 and a half years later, he reaches out. He's like, hey, man, let's grab a beer. And I was like, you know what? Yeah. And then I meet up with him. And then we head to like this little tiny, you know, Japanese bar that seats like 7 people. And your like back is up against the wall. Very cramped space. And like we just, you know, chatted and shot the shit for like hours and laughing. And then afterwards, it, like thinking back on it, it was like this weird moment where like we had like this really short friendship during my study abroad days, but I guess it was something that was short but impactful enough that, you know, caused him to reach out 12 years, like remembered me, first of all, reached out 12 years, and then I, you know, reached back, we talked, and then when we met, we like just had a great time and talked as if like we had just met up, you know, we were just talking so casually and so freely. It was as if like we weren't catching up, but just hanging out as if we did this every week, even though afterwards, and I like kind of just been like, huh, yeah, I think the last time I talked to him was like 13 years ago, but it didn't really feel like that. And right. So friendships are so weird. And again, I want to pull back that word we use, like miraculous sometimes, on how things shake out, how things happen. And a lot of it feels like, you know, a handprint on my heart where like it's got all these like little intricate designs that don't necessarily have a rhyme or reason, or at least not one that is so easily accessible, but are nonetheless still arguably as strong as some friendships that have been around for years of constant interaction and things like that. And I don't want to say one is stronger than the other, but I think both can be strong friendships. They're just, yeah, it's just a weird and interesting thing, these gosh darn human social dynamics.
Yeah, I think the two sides of the coin here, and I think it'll be a great way to sort of send this off too, is that kind of relationship that you just described. It's like one of those that you can just, no matter how much time passes, you can pick up where you left off, right? That's sort of a turn of phrase that people use to describe these relationships. And then on the other side, I think about a lot of my close friendships where we text every day, share memes, and ask each other about our day, things like that. There's those relationships, those friendships that are like the people that when you receive news, good or bad, those are the first people you want to tell. Like, where does your mind go when you have something happen to you that you need to share, or you have a question in mind and you think, oh man, whose perspective would be helpful here? And like, those people are often your closest and strongest friends. But then, like you said, on the other side, just as powerful are those people that maybe don't keep such close tabs with, but you know that as soon as you sit down at a bar together, it'll be just like old times. And that's, yeah, now I'm just confounded as you are at how, I'll use the word one more time, miraculous friendships can be.
I have one question that I wanted to ask you before we end this episode, because it's one that I wanted to ask you as soon as we were planning on what songs to even talk about for our podcast. So I'd be remiss if I didn't get this out there. For Good, you know, the lyrics, I know you have rewritten mine by being my friend, or because I knew you, I have been changed for good. Is there a small, fun little thing that you know that you'd care to share, that because you knew a person, a specific person, it changed you for good? And I can start with mine, because this is a story that I think about so much. And when I explain it, you'll be like, why? But it very much epitomizes, I think, the message of, just because I knew you, you have been an insurmountable change in my life, not necessarily for better, not necessarily for worse, but for sure, you have changed my life for good. So when I entered college at UC Berkeley, one of my friends that I have made, one of my first friends that I made, was a guy that lived on my floor, my suite, as we would call it, because the dorms was built on a hill. The rooms were wacky, and so there was usually like 10 to 12 students in a in like what we'd call a suite, which had a common room that like broke off into a bunch of like double bedrooms. And this guy eventually, like, I would room with him the rest of my years in college, aside for the year that I was in Japan. And I want to say he was probably the first, if not second, person I met once I got to UC Berkeley and like my parents dropped me off and like helped me move in and kind of left, and I was on my own day one. He was one of the few students that was had already unpacked. I was probably like maybe student number 3 or 4 in my suite. Anyways, this guy, I'll just say, I remember for some reason, he had this habit that when he wasn't wearing his sunglasses, he would put them behind his head, as if like if you had eyes on the back of your head, how would you wear sunglasses? You know, by, you know, putting them over your ear as if you had eyes on your back. And I remember I thought that was like, huh, that's really funny. I've never seen anyone do that. And I kind of, and you know, I remember kind of making fun of it a little bit every now and again. But my life from seeing that, I do that now too. And I know it is 100% because of him. And it's something, I feel like it's a testament to the quiet impactfulness people can have in our lives. Because I'm, you know, I'm sure he's not the type of guy that's like showing off the way he wears his sunglasses when he's not wearing his sunglasses, right? But it's, to me, it was something so, I don't know, it just like caught my attention. And then eventually I started doing it. And I don't know if I've ever seen anybody else really do that to this day. And so I know for a fact that I started doing it because I saw him doing it. He probably doesn't know. He might honestly know it though. But that's one of the few things that I remember as I was listening to the song that was like, this is a clear example of something that someone did that has changed me for good. Because if I had not met him, I would probably not have picked up this habit. And who can say if, you know, I've been changed for the better? But because I knew him, I was changed for good from that moment on. And now I still like, you know, if I don't want to wear my sunglasses and I don't want to like put them above my eyes or on top of my head, I'll put them behind my head because of him. So shout out to you, Kyle. You have changed me in so many different ways and you don't even know.
That's awesome. I have a couple of examples that I could think of that are like that, like the way I say certain things or some of the style choices I've taken. I can definitely relate to that. But I think the example I want to share, again, goes back to my father-in-law who passed. I've been thinking a lot about him lately, and there's certainly a lot that I picked up from him very consciously. He was just one of the hardest working guys that I knew, so kind to me, treated me like a son, and just loved his kids and was so important to my wife, still is. So obviously there's a lot I wanted to carry on from him, certainly after his passing. But one thing that I picked up from him before he even passed, subconsciously, something I didn't notice and didn't think about until after he had gone, was the way that he spoke to animals. So my in-law's place was a bit of a zoo, and still kind of is, but they had dogs, cats, birds, fish, even a rat at one point. And the way that my father-in-law addressed the animals when he would walk into a room, like the bird had a very specific area in the kitchen. And anytime he would walk in there, he would just very quietly walk in. He was sort of a short, stocky, kind of looked like Robin Williams crossed with Sting. And he was very stereotypical Chicago kind of character. And he'd walk into a room and he'd see the bird and he'd be like, "How's it going, my friend?" And he would do the same thing with the dog. Anytime the dog was outside on the patio, well, he went out there for a smoke, he'd say, "Oh, how's it going, my friend?" And without me even noticing, I started calling my dog and cat my friend when I would walk into a room, you know, just seeing them. And I thought it was just such a pleasant, cordial thing that I picked it up without even thinking about it. Just such a warm way to address a little creature who relies on me, who's so special to me, but you know, you have this sort of unique relationship, but it just brings down the power dynamic, right? It's just this phrase that's embedded with a real sense of recognition and understanding. And again, sort of echoes what we've been talking about, that friendship. And I didn't realize I had started doing that until after he passed. I'm like, well, that's something I'm going to continue doing, and something that has changed me for good, something I think's changed me for better. But who's to say? It's something I'm content with regardless.
So you just call like animals like, hey, my friend, how are you doing?
Yeah, kind of. It's fun. You should try it.
I feel like I have my own ways that I like. This is not a someone specific, but I think when I talk to animals like at a zoo or something, I feel like I emulate Andy Samberg as Mark Wahlberg, where I was like, oh, hey, buddy, how's it going? Oh, yeah, say hi to your mother for me. Like that stupid thing like that. And again, that's another way I think that, well, obviously we don't have time to get into, but like even people we don't know can affect us in very strong ways, like celebrities more so than others because of how much they're in the spotlight of things. But that was a cute little story. I think that's awesome that like you call your pets and stuff, you know, like give them like, oh, hi, my friend. How it's very endearing, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, I love it. It reminds me of him, and I think it keeps me connected to these little creatures that I let live in my house.
So with that, I think we'll close it off there on those nice little stories. I just wanted to say, guys, if you listened all the way to this episode, and if you've listened all the way to episode 9, I just want to say thank you again. Just like this song and what we've been talking about, how miraculous things can be. And I hope, you know, our conversations with each other can make you, you know, be more a little thoughtful about the people in your lives and how they have changed you, whether you know it or not. And if there's anything you guys would like to share with us, well, you can always reach out and email us at marathonmixtapespodcast@gmail.com. I think we'll be in the podcast description as always. And until the next episode, our last episode of Volume 1, see you later. Thanks a lot, Dane, as always, for the conversations.
Thank you too, Jordan. Really appreciate it.